Yeah, I'm going to give an update on Whisper. So a quick reminder, what is Whisper? It's a peer-to-peer messaging system with strong metadata privacy guarantee. You cannot, like, no one can read the content of your message, and they cannot know who you're sending it to either. So because of the way it's implemented, you need a lot of bandwidth. You cannot really do video chat, things like that. The best use case is really to distribute a message to several recipients. And so, like, what would be necessary or possible in distributed exchanges? But you have some company like Les, like Status, of course, who have implemented that as a messaging system. So that's really nice. As a quick reminder of how it works, imagine that those diamonds represent nodes on the network. The node on the far left wants to send a message to nodes on the right. So what they do, they just forward, I forgot to say the blue lines are the network links. So the node forwards the message to their to its neighbors, and those neighbors in turn forward the message to their neighbors. And you can already see that the one at the bottom already received two copies of the message. And the other thing is that one of the recipients got the message, but to not be identified as the recipient, they will still keep forwarding the message to their neighbors. And you can see that one of the nodes already received three copies, and that is a pretty simple network. So over the last year, we released version 6. I built a test net and I implemented a libp2p version of Whisper. Right, so the libp2p version, last year in Cancun, we had a talk with Parity, with libp2p people, and we agreed to try to use Whisper as a testbed for libp2p, simply because Whisper is fairly independent from the rest of the network. So that was a nice experiment. And I made a couple PRs. One of them, one of those proof of concept of work, so it's available at this address. I have a testnet of libp2p Whisper clients talking to each other. The problem is that libp2p, at least the Go implementation, is not exactly modular yet. So we have to bring in 400 files. So that's a bit of a problem. So that's why it's not available yet. So when it comes to the development that is going to take place this year. First, Status is starting a big documentation effort, so I'm joining in, so kudos to them for helping with that. There's a drive, because Parity has a slightly different version of the protocol. It's not compatible, so I'm going to spend some time trying to make them talk or offer a PR. Hopefully I'll get a t-shirt in response. And the other two things, so there is the testnet. There are examples on how to use it, but people keep asking questions, so there's a need to improve the communication on that. So these are the easier things. Now I want to delve a little bit more into the libp2p changes. So this is a very contrived example or representation of the current state with devp2p. So on top, in the red boxes, you got the protocols. You have ETH, you have Whisper, and then just below it, you have the library. Let's call it the library. So the server object, the protocol object, and then you have devp2p proper. And the FP2P does all the heavy lifting. It does the discovery, does all the connection things. And really down at the bottom, you've got the transport layer, which is called RLPX. It's got some security issues. So that's what's initially driving the potential switch to libp2P. Now, the PR that that is available, the one I described earlier, it's basically just putting another server right next to the devp2p server. You have two almost independent entities, except Whisper kind of still relies on the library layer, so it's a bit of a hack. But this is not what we want to do for several reasons. Well, one of them is that we know a lot of things about devp2p. Felix has invested a lot of time in that, for example. We can't just chuck everything and move to the next, to something new that we don't really understand. The other The other issue is that LibP2P itself, I mean, that's a big change. That's really an engineering problem here. LibP2P has, we started a discussion with them recently. It's got a lot of modules that we don't need, a lot of redundant things. So I'm really really happy, really enthusiastic about the work that we can do together. The goal would be to end up with this. So we just keep DevP2P for now to benefit from all the security we have so far, and we just slowly phase out RLPX, and we use the transport layer of LibP2P. And over time, we slowly replace components of DevP2P with LibP2P, if that makes sense. And then there are on the horizon, there are more long-term improvements. So one of them is the proof of work. So Whisper, when you send a message, you calculate the proof of work on this message. This is to prevent spamming. Because if you remember, when you send one message, it gets duplicated and sent over several times. So you need to make sure that you don't abuse the system. The problem with that is that Status is complaining that the proof of work is draining the battery, like calculation is draining the batteries of mobile phones. So I want to spend some time trying to find alternative proof of work algorithms that will consume less power. And Daniel from Swarm has suggested to use proof of burn, which is great for preventing spam because it's your own money. However, it's connected to your Ethereum account, which means that when it comes to privacy, you are pretty much identified. So that needs to be improved. And then I want to do some simulations try to not forward the message to every single node, try to have a bit more feedback between the nodes to not forward. So as once again a contrived example, if you remember this slide, at the point where the node received two messages, if you see that the same message keeps coming from two different peers, well, you simply remove one of the peers. Once again, this is a very contrived example. We need to make sure that privacy is, and metadata privacy is ensured if we do that. But I think it's a good experiment to have in the coming year. And the last improvement I want to work on, it's WASM. So I'm sure most of you have heard of WASM, but just in case you've been living under a rock, so WASM lets you take whatever language a program written in whatever language, compile it to a blob, and that blob will run in a virtual machine in your browser or on Node. And WASM has a lot of nice properties because so far, what we use is the remote procedure call. So if you have a dApp, it's running in your browser, it connects to one of the nodes, asks the node to create a private key for you to encrypt your message and to forward it, which means you need to trust the node. And thanks to WASM, now all you need to do is trust your browser. Okay, I thought people would think it's funny. But ideally, if you can trust your browser, then it's much more secure. Because it's much more secure. But or if you run it on Node on your machine, you don't have to trust anybody. The only issue with WASM at this stage is that the Go compiler to WASM is pretty new. A lot of the dependencies don't compile, so there's some need to wait for the. For the ecosystem to mature, so we're a bit we're waiting a bit for that to happen. So I'll end up with a roadmap. So the easy stuff first: documentation, parity, compatibility. Then around the middle of next year, I hope to be able to publish some results about my networking experiments. Maybe the collaboration with LibP2P will be fruitful, and we can provide some LibP2P enable geth. And then early next year, WASM and the proof of work experiments. So that was pretty much it. If you have plenty of questions, you can hit me on any of those platforms, or you can catch me and hit me for real. And yes, that was all for me.